All right, so next up we've got Jessica Pucci, who is with, she's a local here at Arizona State University in the Walter Cronkite School of Journalism, and she's going to talk to us a little bit about using social media to help us market some of our programs. So, thank you.
Good morning, everybody. What a pleasure to be here. I want to talk to you today about, yes, certainly marketing all of the great work that you're doing, but I also want to talk about growing your audience. And the first way to do that is by asking for it. So please, here's my Twitter handle, follow me. If you follow me, I'll follow you back. And there's no shame in that game. You don't get what you don't ask for. And so I'm asking you to follow me, and I will follow you back. And when we all grow our audiences, we all benefit, because it spreads your message, spreads mine. We're all one big happy family. The other first thing I want to do is, I may be the only session you visit at this conference. Ooh, there's a bug in my face. Where I encourage you to use your phone. So feel free, you break out that phone, or you can save this for later, but I want everybody to turn on their Twitter analytics. If you've never done it before, this is a great time to do it. All you have to do is be signed into your Twitter account, and then open a web browser, and you go to analytics.twitter.com. And I'll circle back to this, but I bring it up first because part of growing your audience, it isn't just the amount of followers you have, but we're always looking for engagement. And engagement is not just the people who follow you, not just the people who actually get your messages, but how many people actually do something with it. Especially in journalism, we talk a lot about making sure that, your content is high performing. Well, what is high performance? It isn't just good when someone sees your stuff. It's actually good when people read your stuff, or share your stuff, or both. So we're looking for that. And the only way that we can monitor performance, and the only way that we can decide whether or not the content we produce is any good, is by measuring engagement and looking at the numbers behind our work. And so I'll circle back to this, but if this is a good thing to do right now, analytics.twitter.com. For the rest of our time together, I want to just point out three really easy tools and tactics that we in journalism, in marketing, in really any industry, use to spread our message further, optimize our content, and make our voices heard. You guys are all doing really cool stuff. I was telling the group earlier, like, I walk around here and I want to go visit every session because this is like a nerd's paradise. And it sounds like everything sounds so cool. And what if double the people, so you said there were 4,000 people here. What if 8,000 people heard these messages? Or what if 80,000 people heard these messages? That's possible in a single day. And the work is easier, not when you work harder, but when you work smarter. And so the tools that I want to show you, they are all free, they are all really easy, and these are all things that we teach to freshmen. So you can absolutely do this, and with like maybe 5 minutes more effort spent on this in the week, your messages and your science will be spread so much further. The first thing I want to talk about is a tool called BuzzSumo. I love BuzzSumo. This is a tool, again, this is the website, it's totally free, and it allows me to understand what content is being shared the most in social media. So essentially, so what I did here is I typed in agronomy, and I can set my settings to a few different things. So maybe I want to look and see what agronomy content has been shared the most in the past 24 hours, or maybe the past week, or the past month, or maybe even the past year. That could be important to me. Maybe I want to check and see, what language, if I want to narrow it down by a specific language, I can do that too, or what country. Or maybe I'm really concerned with the content type, the article, or maybe I want to see what infographics around agronomy have been shared the most. But again, I can, narrow my search down as broad or as narrow as I want. And what this is going to tell me is, what is the agronomy content that is resonating the most with people? What is the most engaging content around agronomy? That's important to know because, you know, if I can replicate that success or I can find themes in the most shared content, that's something that I want to use and I want to, you know, bring into my own content creation, whether that's a research paper or a tweet or whatever. I can take these learnings from the most shared content and apply them to my own message. So what that looks like is, so I did that exact search and this is what came up. So it looks like in the past month, the most shared content around agronomy was this high school agronomy team won the national championship. I don't know what championship that was, but good for them, though. Next to that, there's an article called Globes English, Israeli company Scantask brings farmers' precision to agronomy. Another one about agricultural systems modeling by some of you who may even be in this room. So good for you. So these are the most shared stories or pieces of content around the topic of agronomy in the past month. And so not only does it list them for me, and it's going to list them for me by the most, you know, total shares, but it breaks it down by where this action is happening. So it looks like Facebook is a great place to share my agronomy content. So all of you who in Nicole's session did not raise your hand for Facebook, you might want to jump on Facebook because this is where the action's happening. This is where your content is going to be spread and shared. A couple of items, though, it looks like Twitter is a big sharing zone for agronomy content. Not as big as Facebook, but it looks like we're getting some shares there. So, you know, we can learn from that too. Maybe Pinterest is not the best place for you to share your stuff. But again, this is helping you to understand where the sharing is happening and what content is resonating with your audience or your prospective audience. So what I usually do is, and this is really helpful, I mean, our journalists use this whenever they have to go report on a beat that they've never covered before or a topic they've never covered. We have them read all of these stories to understand, well, what's resonating with people? What do people like? What are they sharing? What are the common themes or the common tone? And you can do that too. So you can take any of these top content items, read them, and see what you can learn from them, and then try to replicate that success in your own content. The other thing that I love to do, and honestly, if you ever have like a bored moment or you're sitting in the airport and you have nothing to do or you know, I don't know, you're just looking for a new hobby, you should take to Google Trends. That website is trends.google.com. And essentially what Trends does, it tells you, it gives you kind of a peek into how popular search terms are. Now, we look at search when we're talking about social media because, you know, in social media, people tend to posture a little bit. Like, you would never, you know, you're going to put your, like, Hawaii vacation photos on Instagram. You're never going to put the sink full of dirty dishes on Instagram. You're going to, you know, social media is kind of a polished version of your life. Search, though, people don't lie. You never lie to a search engine to, like, back end your way into finding what you want. Search engines and the data that comes from search engines represents some of the most honest human behavior that we have available to us. So we really look to search engine data to tell us how interested people are in particular topics and how those interests rank against other interests. So here's what I did. So I looked at three terms. I plugged in soil science, and agronomy. And this tells me that this goes all the way back to 2011. Both of these graphs represent 5 years. And this blue is representing search interest in the term soil. And it looks like there are very consistent times of year where we see spikes. Because can anyone guess what month this is? It isn't. What? It's actually May. And so I'm going to guess that, and see, this is why you do this tool, because you, as professionals, probably have very different cadences to when you care about certain topics than the people who are actually consuming content. So people tend to plug in the term soil more in May than they do, you know, whatever month this represents. And I'm going to assume because maybe that's when gardening season starts for a lot of people. But so that may not be your thing, but that's still the best time to enter into that conversation. So I also looked up soil science and agronomy, and both of those are sitting way, way, way down here. So that doesn't mean that no one is interested. It just means that more people are interested in soil, and very seasonally so, than these other two terms. So that means if I wanted to spread a message about agronomy, or a message about soil science, maybe I try to push that word soil more in my content. If I'm publishing a blog post or I'm publishing a paper on my website, I want to make sure and keep that keyword soil somewhere close to the top. Put it in the URL. Put it as the meta title of my webpage. That's a really important thing. But the reason why I love looking at this is you can compare whatever terms you want. So what I did was I took soil, and so you see that same trend line here, it's still blue, but I actually compared it to something else. It shows kind of an inverse seasonal relationship, and that term was apple pie. I don't know, I just picked a food that I liked out of a hat, and so I compared the search terms to apple pie, which is this red line. Again, you see it's kind of inverse interest compared to soil. And then I also plugged in another food I like to eat that has, again, somewhat of a seasonal trend, but more consistent throughout the year, and an increased interest over the past 5 years. Anyone want to just take a stab at what that food is?
Kale.
Oh, I like that idea, but no, it was not kale. Any other thoughts? Actually, tacos. So the moral of the story is, though, is that no matter what, even though apple pie and tacos are beloved by all, by most, actually people are still more interested in soil on average than apple pie and tacos. So if you ever question your purpose in this industry, you should feel good knowing that people really do care about soil. And I say that very, very honestly. Although, listen, tacos are creeping up on you a little bit. So be careful. You can also use Google Trends, and this is in the same, you don't have to even really navigate this. You go to one page and it's all out, it's all there for you. But you can also learn a little bit about where in the world and even down to the county, in the city, where interest in your particular research topic is happening. And so that may help you to determine where to target your content, or groups to target your content to, or even schools that may be interested in your research. So when I looked up soil, it looks like the concentration of interest is really up here, which is absolutely different than the people who are searching for soil science. Search interest in soil science is actually very heavily concentrated to California and Texas. And I will, is that some kind of inside joke? Maybe you know why that is and I don't. I'm not sure. And it looks like searches for agronomy are also concentrated to these states. I mean, it makes sense. There's a lot of farming happening in these states, but I thought it was really interesting the difference between, the geographic difference between this term and this term. So I thought that was interesting. You can also evaluate search queries that are rising among internet users. So these are the search terms around agronomy and soil that are seeing more volume than in past months. And so more people than ever before are searching, just, and by searching I mean opening up Google and just typing it in, TGA Supersoil. That is up 950%. So if that is something that you study or that you're interested in, now is a really good time to jump into that conversation, or produce a blog post, or produce a Facebook post even that addresses that topic. TPC Sawgrass Agronomy up 650%, Supersoil, Soil-Based Probiotics, Mastering Environmental Science, Soil Horizons. I don't even know what some of these search terms mean, but maybe you do. And if you do, then you are poised to create content around them, and you can then become an authority in these spaces. And when you're authoritative, I'm glad Nicole mentioned search engine optimization. It's really important. When you talk about, when you're able to create content around some of these queries, that helps your site and your internet authority grow. So your stuff rises higher in search engine results pages, and people find you more. So this is all, again, this has nothing to do with you know, Twitter or Facebook specifically, but these are all ways that, that we help your digital presence grow and your message be spread further. The final tool that I love to work with is a kind of a real-time social conversation analysis tool, which is called Keyhole. It's actually keyhole.co and not .com. That's going to be something different. But keyhole.co. And so what I did is, again, just I searched the term agronomy again just for the heck of it. And right away, it's going to tell me a little bit about the trajectory of that conversation in social media. So what this is telling me is, so here's November 2nd, and here is last night, and this is telling me how many people are talking about the word agronomy between November 2nd and today. So it looks like a good time to jump into that conversation would have been on November 4th at about lunchtime. So maybe you were one of the people who tweeted about agronomy at lunchtime on November 4th. But if you weren't, maybe you should have, and your content could have gotten seen. So this tells me that in this graph, people have posted 312 times about agronomy, and that's spread among 235 users. But this has reached 447,000 people. That is a lot of people in the span of a couple days who care about agronomy. Maybe some of them are in this room, but most of them aren't. So you've got to pay attention to when is a good time to jump into that conversation, when is a good time to add to that conversation and share your work, because look how many people you're reaching. It's hard to realize if you're only going by what you see in your Twitter stream. You know, you can be like, oh, who cares about this, or maybe this conversation isn't very active. But when you actually take a minute to analyze the trajectory of that conversation, you realize, hey, there are actually a lot of people listening here. I might as well jump in. Right below that graph, if you were to use Keyhole, you would see two other things, and this is among my favorite parts of this tool. The first one is keywords. So this is telling me that when people use the word agronomy in their social, they are using these other words. So they're using the words agronomy and manager, sales, articles, students, job, central, trials. Now, maybe that indicates like people are looking for or hiring for, I don't know, agronomy-based sales jobs. I'm not sure. Or maybe people are looking for agronomy articles. Maybe there are groups of agronomy students who are communicating. I'm not sure. But these are the keywords that kind of align with the word agronomy in social media. So we care very much about this because you have to speak the same language as your audience. You want to, social audiences in particular crave familiarity and consistency. So we want to be speaking about our topics and our research in a very consistent language. And this does the guesswork for you. You can use this to replicate, you know, success, because you're going to look at this and use those same terms that you see here in your own social media communication. And very similarly, these are the hashtags that are, you know, have the most kind of relevancy to the topic of agronomy. So when people are using the word agronomy in social, they use these words, but they use these hashtags. So it's important to note the difference that you can use a word without slapping a hashtag on it, and that's this. But if you want to, you know, insert your agronomy information or your soil research or anything into the agronomy conversation or another conversation, you're going to use these hashtags. So it looks like hashtag agriculture, hashtag fertilizer, hashtag turf. These are all really, you know, robust conversations that you'd want to enter yourself and your profile and your research into. So it's as simple as creating a tweet that uses the hashtag agriculture. And that, again, this takes all the work out of it for you. It tells you what to use right away. The other end of this tool is that it tells you a little bit more about your audience as well. So very similar to Google, we can learn a little bit more about where the conversation is happening. And so when I looked at this last night, it looked like the bulk of the agronomy conversation was happening in Missouri. And I was surprised that it wasn't happening right here in Arizona, considering we're all here. But that further illustrates the need. Like, all the people who care about agronomy are not in this room. They are not in this building. They're actually mostly in Missouri, at least at the time that I checked it. So it would behoove us to not only then create social content that, or, you know, a tweet, a Facebook post, whatever, that speaks about agronomy or agriculture, but maybe there's a topic germane to the folks living in Missouri that they would care about. And if you have something that answers that question, then now is a really good time to put that out. It's also really fun to look at share of posts, and this just tells me, I like looking at this because it tells me, like, how original the conversation is. So when I see that, you know, 56% of the conversation is original posts and, you know, 37% of it is a retweet, well, okay, that's one thing. What I'm actually looking for is when we see the conversation contain a lot of retweets, because that means there's not a lot of original thought. Instead, that means people are sharing other people's content. And that's good for me because that means the likelihood of my content being retweeted is higher. So I like to see conversations that have a lot of retweets because that means the likelihood of someone retweeting my research or my comments is high. And that's what I want. I want people sharing my stuff. And it's also kind of fun sometimes and kind of sad sometimes too to look at the demographics of a conversation. It looks like the agronomy conversation, at least in Twitter, is very male dominated, and so I guess that means we gals got to get out there and really tweet up a storm to even this graph out. And then finally, I really like looking at this most influential module as well, because this tells me that in the agronomy conversation, these are the most influential people in tweeting and talking about agronomy at that moment. And so I can hover over any of these usernames, and up will pop their bio. And these are people who, maybe they're your friends, maybe they're your colleagues, maybe they're people who you want to get to know, but they are tweeting about this topic right now. So you can share your content with them. If you know, I pulled up this user, I hovered over this icon, and up came this user. And that is a feed of the latest research outcomes, trial results, news, and events from Grains Research and Development Corporation. Well, if I had research that kind of fit that bill, I would tweet them right now and say, hey, can you share my paper? Or, hey, can you share this cool graph that I made of some research that I'm in the middle of? You don't need to wait until your study is over to start getting people excited about it. We always emphasize building relationships before you need them. And your first impression shouldn't be, hey, can you read my stuff? Nice to meet you. You wouldn't do that in sales, and that's almost kind of rude. What you want to do is actually build a relationship with your audience, even if it's only digitally and even if it's only over Twitter, before you need them to read your research and spread your message. So forming relationships with these influencers in the conversation is a really important building block to making sure that your message is spread. And so, again, hovering over these people and organizations and making connections with them, whether it's early or you've already got a piece of content to share, is really critical and an important part of the process. So finally, I had you all look at or sign up and push the button to activate your Twitter analytics, and I want to tell you why. Because you can do all of this work and you can make the time and set aside 5 minutes a day to check and see where, you know, the social conversation around your research topic is going. But you won't really know if it works unless you check the numbers. And you can't check the numbers unless you've actually pushed that button to turn on your Twitter analytics. And if you have a Facebook page, you have access to all the same data via your Facebook Insights. Now, I will say, it's important to make a distinction between having a Facebook page and a Facebook profile. If you have a profile, you don't get any of this. But if you have a public-facing Facebook page, then you also get a bunch of healthy Facebook analytics as well. But I'm going to focus on Twitter because it's actually, I don't know, it's kind of the quickest place to move the needle because of its real-time focus. And this is always my students' like first intro to digital analytics because it's just so easy. But whenever you get to your Twitter analytics, there's a little spot at the top where it says tweets, and this is where all of the data for all of the tweets you've ever sent lives. And this is what you get when you click on that. And so this is my account, and it tells me a little bit about you know, again, the trajectory of my performance, how many people I'm reaching, and it looks like in the past 28 days, I earned 472 impressions per day, and all together in the past month, I've reached, you know, 13,000 people. So that's great. But what I have to do to understand whether or not my research is working, whether I'm using the right hashtags or I'm you know, at mentioning the right people is look at the actual tweets themselves. So, here's an example of a tweet that performed well for me, a few days ago. I said, oh, hey, did you know that our journalism school is home to this, Disability Journalism Center? And I mentioned a student who chatted with, an expert on covering Down syndrome in journalism. And so, that earned 1,500 impressions and 41 engagements. So that's any time someone actually did something with my tweet. They shared it. They liked it. They looked at the video. They replied to me. They clicked on a hashtag in my tweet or clicked on any of these usernames. So anytime they actually did something, and that's what we want. It's not enough for someone to just see it, and that's why, you know, you can't care too much about impressions, because is it any good if a lot of people saw it but nobody did anything with it? Not really. So we are looking for high impressions, of course, which indicate it reached a lot of people, but also a lot of engagements. And so one way to look at this is to kind of test yourself, and you don't have to set this up scientifically. I know everyone in this room is probably very regimented with regard to their research, but you don't have to be. All you have to do is you can try testing two hashtags against each other. I did that last weekend with The Walking Dead. Any Walking Dead fans here? You know, you are. Okay, well, no spoilers, please. I didn't get a chance to watch last night. But so here's an example of the Walking Dead season premiere. I tweeted once with the hashtag Walking Dead season premiere and once with the hashtag The Walking Dead. One time it reached 162 and had zero impressions. No one did anything with my tweet. But the second time I used the hashtag that was actually trending at the time, and I had four engagements. So all this involves is you doing a little bit of research and then constantly, you know, kind of going back to check and see what worked for you and then keep doing what works. If something isn't working for you, you should stop doing it. So that's how I use data very quickly and free, most importantly, to drive my growth, drive my engagement, and ultimately build an audience for myself, my school, my research. And it's a really, really easy thing to do. Any questions?
Yes. Question about the hashtag searching in the various ways you did it.
Mm-hmm.
Hashtag cuts across a number of platforms, doesn't it? Does that search the variety of platforms? You know, you focused on Twitter, but mm-hmm. I think hashtags are work in Instagram, and
yep.
I don't know how it works beyond. Can you speak to that for a second?
Yeah, so keyhole, I mean, when we're using hashtags, we're primarily concerned with Twitter and Instagram. You don't need a hashtag anywhere else. But that tool that I showed you, Keyhole, does assess both Twitter and Instagram with regard to hashtags. So, yes, absolutely.
One of the things I noticed, and you said mm-hmm. at the start, you know, follow me, I follow you.
Mm-hmm.
I have 3,000 followers or something, mm-hmm. but I only follow about 250 people, mostly because I started the account and
right.
I didn't pay attention to it for 5 years.
Yeah, that's a good problem to have. Yeah.
Following me and I was ignoring everybody,
mm-hmm.
mostly because I wasn't looking. And I find that just with that many followers, just that many people I follow, it's tough, the lifespan of a tweet.
Mm-hmm.
You think about people that follow as many people as they're following, and you know what sort of, how much more important this data is then, but there's a fair amount of noise.
There is a lot of noise, but I will say a couple things on that note. First of all, the lifespan of a tweet is about 2 to 3 hours, and that just goes to show you can't just tweet about something once. If you did something monumental or interesting or captivating, share it more than once, because the same group of people are never going to see it. You're going to get the group of people that check their Twitter in the morning, and then you're going to tweet it in the afternoon for that lunchtime crowd, and you're going to share it again at night, and then you're going to share it again on the weekend, on Saturdays and Sundays, and you'll never get the same person twice. It just doesn't work that way, and that's a good thing, because then your message can spread further. But that's why, you know, you have to make sure and use hashtags as well, because that's how you're going to spread your message beyond the people who follow you. It's the people who follow you already have a vested interest in you, so of course they care about what you're talking about, but what you want to do is grow and engage an audience that you don't already know. And so the way to do that is by using hashtags that insert your voice into trending conversations that again, spread your message further and amplify your voice. But thirdly, I'll say that people actually, there's been research done on this that says that people don't trust users with a lot of, who follow a lot of people. So if you have 8,000 followers and you also follow 8,000 people, everyone knows that you're either some kind of a bot or you're just like not that invested in curating like a healthy, engaged Twitter audience, because like it's too much. And you know that, we all know that it's hard to follow more than, you know, a few hundred people. It's difficult. You can't keep up. And so people recognize that, but as authorities in your field, that's what you want to aim for. You want to aim to spread your message to a lot of people, but it's okay that you only follow a few hundred. And you can unfollow me later this week if you really want. Yeah.
More of a comment than a question.
Yeah.
One of the most important points for an audience of nerds like this in social media, and we're drilling our heads as scientists that you can say it once and you never say it again, but in social media, redundancy is good.
100%.
Prove that to yourself by using your Twitter analytics and tweet about the same, maybe an identical tweet or closely related tweet to the same content over time.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and you guys are just doing too cool of stuff to like not share it. You know, there's an audience for it, and the data shows it. Yes. So Google Trends always, and this is partly because they're trying to keep people somewhat anonymous, it sets the like a benchmark at 100 100. So the most search volume that particular query has ever received, doesn't matter how many millions of people searched it, it's always set at 100, and so everything else is relative to that. And then the other, like the social media data, like Keyhole, it actually tells you hard numbers of this is how many people tweeted it, this is how many people shared it, da 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 da. So in search, it's more of like a relative. The data is relative, and then in social, it's real time, and the data is actually very specific. Yeah. Did you? Or, okay. Yeah. Go ahead. I think for both Facebook Live and Snapchat and Instagram, you know, the key there is having like a strong visual message. And you may think to myself, "Whoa, I'm stuck in a lab all day. Like, what do I have to say?" That's actually really cool for someone who's stuck in a newsroom in an office all day. I would love to see what you're doing in the field. I would love to see some worms crawling in dirt. I'd love to see some chemicals in an experiment. Like, I would love that. That's super captivating. So anytime that you have something visual to share, you can and you should use all of those mediums to share it. Maybe, like, don't share your spreadsheets and things like that, because that's just, you know, hard and hard to see. But, yeah, that's if you have something visually captivating, then yeah, you use it, and you'll absolutely grow an audience around it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you again, Jessica.